缘起性空与现代生活，慈城罗珠堪布讲授。更多课程请访问堪布官方网站www.慧灯之光.com。
各位大家下午好。今天感到非常的高兴，原因啊有两个，感觉了。
Oh yeah. good evening, everybody. Tonight there are several, many, in fact, Tibetans in the audience. However, the plan for this evening was to deliver the teaching in Chinese. That was what was previously arranged. In a couple of days' time, though, the teachings will be given in Tibetan so that the Tibetans who attend will be able to understand with great ease. Kenpo is very happy to be here tonight for two reasons.
今天感到高兴的第一个原因是就在这个斯坦福大学里面呢，能有机会跟大家进行交流。
The first reason that Kenpo is very happy to be here this evening is that he, being here at Stanford University, is able to engage in exchange with everybody who has attended.
第二个原因呢，今天就在一个耶稣的教堂里面能够有机会跟大家演讲。
The second reason being that tonight he has the opportunity to give a lecture to everyone in a Christian church.
在教堂里面演讲，对我来说，这次是第二次。
This is the second time that Kenpo has given a teaching in a church.
第一次在上海的一个犹太教的教堂里面我们进行了交流。
The first time was actually in a Jewish religious center, perhaps a synagogue in Shanghai, when he was able to give a teaching.
今天就是第二次。那么为什么在教堂里面演讲，为什么感到高兴呢？我觉得这个就是我们宗教之间的一种包容。
The reason that I'm very happy to be giving the teaching in the church is because it gives me a feeling of religious tolerance.
那么我们所有的宗教都在传递同样的一个同样的一个理念这个就是爱或者是慈悲心。
In fact, all the religious traditions are perpetuating a value in common, a teaching in common, and that is love or compassion.
因为我们全世界的宗教如果相互包容团结这样子的话，能够给人类带来更多的和平、安宁和幸福。
If all the religious traditions in the world are able to unite and work together more closely, then they'll be able to give people greater peace, tranquility, and benefit.
从这个我们的内容今天要讲的这个内容的角度来讲，今天我们是讲这个缘起。那么这个缘起有可能在某种程度上跟基督讲的这个上帝有可能是在某种程度上也许是一个意思。
The topic of tonight's talk is dependent arising. Perhaps to some extent, this teaching is in common with the Christian idea of God, perhaps the same, a very similar idea.
那么我们今天的交流的这个题目呢，就叫做缘起性空和 现代生活。
The title of tonight's teaching is Dependent Arising, Emptiness, and Modern Life.
那么今天我们这个讲座呢，我们先分两个阶段。第一个大概就是一个半小时这样子的时间当中呢，我来讲，然后呢，剩下来的半个小时当中，我们可以提问，互动交流。
Tonight's teaching is going to be divided into two sections. The first section will be approximately 1.5 hours, during which Kempel will deliver his teaching, and then the remaining half hour will be an opportunity for members of the audience to ask any questions they might have.
第一个阶段，这个演讲啊，我们也就分了三个阶段了。第一个啊，给大家啊介绍一下。什么叫做缘起啊？这是第一。
In terms of the first section of tonight's teaching, the first part will be about dependent arising, and Kempel will explain to everybody what is meant by this term.
第二个阶段呢，再介绍一下什么叫做空心。
The second section will be about emptiness.
第三个阶段呢，这个缘起跟空心呢，跟我们的生活有什么样的关系？这个就第三个阶段。
And then the third section will be about the connection that dependent arising and emptiness have in terms of our lives, our everyday lives.
也就是说，这个缘起和心空我们在现实生活当中怎么样去用在我们的现实生活当中缘起心空怎么能够解决我们的有些问题第三个就讲到这些
That's to say in the third section emptiness and dependent arising how do we use these in terms of our everyday life what benefit do they have to us how do we use them to solve the problems that we encounter in the midst of our lives
首先第一个什么是缘起佛经里面有一句话这句话在大乘佛教小乘佛教整个的这个佛经里面呢经常提到一句话。
In terms of dependent arising, there is a saying that is very common in the Buddhist sutras.Regardless of the Hinayana, the Mahayana, or the Vajrayana tradition.
这句话是说佛经里面讲如来出时或不出时法性常在就这么一句话那么如来出时或不出时是什么意思呢如来就是释迦牟尼佛。
And this saying is, the ultimate nature of reality, or the true nature of existence, exists regardless of whether there is a Buddha.
如来出世，就是说释迦牟尼佛出现在我们的面前就转发然后转发论出世就是这个意思或不出世就是说万一释迦牟尼佛没有出现没有给我们转发论这就是如来若出世若不出世就是这个意思
So the part of the saying that relates to whether or not the Buddha arises whether or not there is a Buddha or not refers to whether or not there is a Buddha who emerges in this world turns the wheel of Dharma gives teachings or whether the Buddha does not arise
法性常住法性是什么呢法性就是自然的规律自然的规律常住就是自然的规律跟释迦牟尼佛的出现没有任何的关系是这个自然的规律 永远都是存在的。
And the ultimate nature of reality in this saying refers to the true nature of things as they are, independent of whether or not there is a Buddha or not.
释迦牟尼佛初时转法轮就是2500多年。那么2500多年以前，3000年、5000年，这个时候有没有这个自然的规律呢？自然的规律佛没有出世之前就是存在的。
The Sakyamuni Buddha, as he is known, appeared on the earth over 2,000 years ago. But prior to that, 3,000 years ago, or even 5,000 years ago, did the nature of things exist as they are? Yes, of course they did.
释迦牟尼佛出世圆寂以后，也就已经2500年左右。那么，释迦牟尼佛圆寂了以后呢？这个自然的规律存不存在？自然的规律仍然存在的。
And after the Buddha passed into Nirvana approximately 2,500 years ago, after that, did or does the ultimate nature of reality exist? Yes, of course it does. It is enduring.
这句话佛教它想表达什么呢？
With this saying, what is trying to be expressed?
佛教想告诉大家，这个世界跟释迦牟尼佛的出生、诞生、出现没有任何的关系。
The meaning of this saying is that the nature of this world that we live in, the ultimate nature of reality, is independent of, separate from the birth, the existence of the Buddha.
换句话说，释迦牟尼佛是这个宇宙真理的发现者，但是他不是创造者。
To put it another way, the Buddha was the discoverer of the truth of the ultimate nature of reality, but he wasn't the creator of that truth.
这个宇宙万事万物，包括我们一个人的身体和我们的这个内在的精神的变化都是有它的规律，它的规律但是这个规律呢，跟释迦牟尼佛是没有关系。
The external world that we live in and the internal nature of ourselves, our moods, our feelings, etc., all have their own nature, all have their own way. But this way in itself is independent of the Buddha.
释迦牟尼佛呢，他了解这个世界的变化，内在的精神的这种变化，他为什么要怎么变化？如果我们要控制这个变化的话，那么需要用什么样的方法去控制他只是知道这个而已。
What the Buddha understood was the changing nature of the internal self, and that is what the Buddha understood.
那么这个自然的规律用佛教的话来讲就叫做缘起这两个字，用藏文讲就叫做 dimji 缘起。
So dependent arising, the ultimate nature of things is referred to in Buddhism as dependent arising, in Chinese 缘起 and in Tibetan dimji。
那么我们先了解一下什么叫做缘起。
So let's talk first about what dependent arising actually means.
在佛教里面只有两个词汇，一个叫做缘起，一个叫做缘灭毁灭的灭。
In Buddhism, there are two words. One is about arising, and the other is about extinguishing.
那么宇宙的万事万物啊，跟释迦牟尼佛的这个出现没有关系，那跟什么有关系呢？跟他自己的因缘有关系。
If all the myriad phenomena in the world are not are independent of the Buddha, then what are they related to? Well, they're related to all of their dependent conditions.
比如说这朵花啊，它的这个出现啊，就是由它的因和缘来决定啊，就有了它的种子啊，有了适当的这个湿度、温度、时间、空间啊，这样子的话，这朵花它会出现。
For example, this flower, the existence of this flower is due to a particular set of causes and conditions. So, for example, it needs its own seed, it needs the proper temperature to grow, the proper space to grow in, the proper nutrients, etc.
这个成长的过程当中啊，不需要释迦牟尼佛去参与，也不需要释迦牟尼佛去做什么事情，因为有了这些自然的因缘，它就会诞生。
The process of this flower growing and becoming a flower doesn't require the involvement of the Buddha. It becomes a flower on account of its own particular set of causes and conditions.
然后缘灭是什么呢？比如说啊，这朵花它的湿度、温度、时间、空间啊，这些因缘当中某一个比较关键的、比较主要的因缘不存在的时候呢，就是这朵花啊，它也不能维持，它也就会毁灭啊，这叫做缘灭。
And regarding the extinguishing of phenomena, or in terms of the flower, if one of its the causes and conditions that permits its existence, its environment, the temperature, the water, nutrients, etc. If one of these vital constituent factors is missing, then it can no longer exist. And so that is what we mean by the extinguishing of phenomena.
这个缘起啊，它会大到这个宇宙的万事万物，小到一朵花，它们的发展的规律，或者它的毁灭，所有的一切啊，都有这个因缘啊，缘起它在决定。
Independent arising, this concept encompasses.The greatest and largest principles of the universe, and the right from the greatest and largest principles of the universe to the very smallest as well, down to the workings of a small flower.
内在的，比如说一个人的身体，一个人的身体的健康，一个人的身体的不健康，生病啊等等啊，这一切。也有这个人的身体，人体它本身的有一种啊，它的因和缘具备的时候就会产生，然后这个因缘不具备的时候呢，这个身体啊就会毁灭，这就是身体的缘起。
And in terms of the human life and the human body, it too is reliant on.A particular set of causes and conditions in order to sustain its existence. And when those conditions and causes occur, then the human body can exist. And when they don't, it ceases to exist.
然后内在的这个元气呢，就是我们的精神世界啊，我们开心、不开心，感到幸福、痛苦。抑郁、恐慌啊，等等，所有的这些我们的内在的变化，也有它自己的因缘。只要有它这个缘起两个字，它就会产生啊，缘灭啊，就是其中的某一个因缘不存在的时候呢，然后我们内在的这个恐慌、痛苦等等会消失，这叫做缘灭。
And likewise, our internal state, our inner state, our moods also operate according to the doctrine or the principle of dependent arising. Our moods, happiness, sadness, depression, fear, are all comprised of their own particular set of causes and conditions, such that when one of those conditions does not exist, then that particular feeling or mood or emotion that we have will disappear.
那么这个缘起和缘灭决定万事万物的发展和缘万事万物的毁灭。
The dependent arising, the arising of phenomena, and the extinguishing or ceasing of phenomena, explains and accounts for all phenomena.
那么，在这个过程当中呢，释迦牟尼佛他就发现啊，这个宇宙，或者是尤其是我们的人的内在的一些啊，很多的幸福、快乐、痛苦。恐慌啊，这些它到底啊来自于什么？啊，以什么样的方法啊可以消失？啊，他比较清楚啊这个过程和这个方法。
So what the Buddha realized was these internal states that we experience, how do they arise, and then how do they cease? How do we control these states. This is what the Buddha realized.
这些因缘当中呢，从佛教的角度讲，它就会分两种因缘啊。一个因缘叫做净因，就是净最净最净的因缘，也就是当下的因缘。另外一个叫做缘因，这个缘因呢，有可能是啊比较早一点的中下的一个。能量今天在发挥作用，这叫做原因。
So in terms of the causes and conditions that account for our inner states, Buddhism separates between causes that are contemporary or recent, proximate to us, and those that are more distant or remote in the past.
那么这个原因，用佛教的话来讲。啊，这叫做因果啊，因果。那么从基督的角度讲啊，这个叫做上帝。这两个也许是一个意思，但是我们还要进一步的去研究。
When we talk about the remote causes, in Buddhism we can also refer to this as cause and effect, the law of cause and effect. Perhaps.We can also equate this idea with the notion of God, although whether or not we can state that in fact categorically is something that perhaps requires more research and deeper exploration.
不管是上帝也好啊，这个因果也好，我们不能不承认有一个神秘的力量在控制我们的生活。和我们的生死。
Regardless of whether we call it cause and effect, or whether we call it God, what we can't deny is that there is some kind of mysterious force controlling our lives, controlling the arising of our lives and the ceasing of our lives.
我们很多的东方和西方的宗教、哲学，都在寻找这个根源。
And what this mysterious force is something that philosophical traditions in both the East and West devote great energies to discovering.
我们为什么要去寻找这个因缘呢？
Why do we need to discover what this mysterious force is?
如果人类的需求、人类的追求啊，仅仅是物质啊，仅仅是这个物质的层面，这样子的话呢，那我们的现代科技还有很多的古老的传统的这些手段， 都能够给我们解决啊这个物质上的问题，所以没有必要去寻找这么多的这个根源。
If as human beings our needs are purely material, then contemporary science and technology and even ancient traditions and the knowledge that they or the conveniences that they can bring us should satisfy our needs, making it unnecessary for us to probe into the nature of this mysterious force.
但是我们大家都知道，无知，我们今天空前的发展有可能人类历史上我们这个时期这个年代的这个物质的这个生活呢，有可能是最丰富的时候，最丰富的年代。
Of course, we are all very aware that we live in a generation of great material wealth and opulence.
过去19世纪、18世纪这样子的时候呢，我们很多人都觉得，只要有很多的钱，只要有物质的生活非常的丰富，我们会很幸福。
In centuries gone by, in the 18th century,or the 19th century, many people believed that if only we could have great material wealth and luxury, then we would have a wonderful existence.
但是到了20世纪、21世纪的时候呢，尤其是西方，很多人的物质生活已经是非常的丰富，但是我们幸福吗？很多人仍然，不幸福的。
However, by the 20th and 21st centuries, particularly in Western countries where the material standard of living has already reached an extremely high level, have people discovered happiness? Do they feel happy? Not necessarily.
我们的生活节奏越来越快，竞争越来越激烈，生活的压力越来越大，那么在这种情况下，我们的内在就是越来越缺乏安全感和幸福感。
In a society where our pace of living is ever increasing, where we live amongst constant competition and feel immense pressure in our everyday lives, we characteristically lack a sense of safety and happiness.
这个时候我们每个人都感觉到，虽然是有钱，虽然是有这个物质生活的这个已经达到了很高的这个水平，但是呢似乎在我们的生活当中还缺乏了一个缺乏了一种东西。
Even though people realize that they have obtained a pretty nice level of material living, nevertheless they feel in their hearts that they somehow lack something.
那么在这样子的生活当中，能够给我们带来安全感、幸福感，能够给我们带来宁静这样子的这个知识呢，也许就在这个古老的文化当中。
So in this context where we are looking for a sense of safety and happiness and equanimity, perhaps the answers are actually to be found in ancient wisdom.
所以东西方的哲者、学者们不断地在寻找这个我们为什么还不幸福的根源。
So, scholars and academics in both the East and West continue to ask these questions about why are we still not happy.
也许这个答案我们可以在这个佛教的缘起这当中能够找到。
Perhaps the answer to this question we are able to find in the Buddhist doctrine of dependent arising.
这是我们今天要讲的，要讲这个缘起的第一个原因。
And this is the first reason we are going to talk about dependent arising this evening.
今天我们在座的听众当中，有可能一部分是有信仰的，有可能一部分是没有信仰的。那么有信仰的这一部分当中呢，有可能一部分是信佛的，有可能一部分是信仰其他宗教的，但是都没有关系。
Tonight, among tonight's audience, perhaps there are people who have religious faith and people who don't have religious faith. And among those with religious faith, perhaps there are Buddhists and also non-Buddhists. Regardless, it doesn't matter.
那么我们有信仰的，没有信仰的人，所有的人共同面临的一个问题就是心灵危机。
Because regardless of whether a person has religious faith or not, we face this similar predicament of a spiritual crisis.
所谓的心灵危机，大家都应该很清楚，我们全世界东方西方所有的人都同样的面临一个问题，就是每个人的精神极度的空虚，没有安全感，然后越来越浮躁、狂躁、暴躁啊，这样子以后呢，最终每个人都很抑郁啊，甚至是得到抑郁症等等，这就是心灵危机。
Spiritual crisis refers to a predicament that afflicts people in both the East and West. The inner state of great emptiness, ennui, fear, violence, anger, depression, to the extent that people suffer from the illness of depression.
首先我们要解决这个问题，就是作为一个幸福的开心的人，或者是能够过一个幸福开心有意义的人生。
So the first hurdle that we need to cross, the first problem that we need to address is how to lead a happy life.
当我们解决了这个问题以后呢，然后我们可以更上一层楼，然后再去考虑啊，我们怎么样去解决生老病死啊，生老病死的问题，怎么样能够从这个啊我们的一些，比如说我们不自由、不自在的这些内在的因素当中，怎么样能够解脱？怎么样能够摆脱？怎么样能够彻底的摆脱？第二步就是要去想这件事情。
So after we've addressed this first stage of how to lead a happy life, then we can ascend to the second stage of how do we obtain freedom in this life? How do we liberate ourselves from those shackles that constrain and restrain us?
因为我们人，比如说我们很多地方有言论自由，有新闻自由，有各种各样的自由，但是呢，有一个东西呢，总是不能让我们彻底的自由，这就是我们的内在的一种烦恼啊，内在的一种心态。
You know, in many places have freedom of speech, they have freedom of expression, but there's always something lingering in ourselves that prevents us from having ultimate freedom. And that is ultimately an inner obstacle we have, our inner negative emotions.
比如说我们生病看病的时候呢，首先医生检查我们的身体，他要找到为什么要生病，这个病的根源在哪里。
When a doctor examines us to find out what kind of illness we're suffering from, he does so with the purpose of finding out the root of that illness. We need to know the root of the illness in order to cure it.
他找到了这个根源以后呢，才能够有一个方案给他治病啊，最后能够治好这个病。
Indeed, it's only through knowing the root of the illness that a plan can be made according to which the illness can be cured.
同样的，我们人类也是一样啊，我们要去寻找我们为什么不幸福，最终所有的啊这些自由都有了，但是呢，为什么总是有一个不自由的东西？为什么不能超越？为什么不能突破？我们首先也得要去寻找它的真正的根源。
And we as humans are exactly the same in terms of our internal states. What is it, in fact, that is preventing us from transcending? We have this sense of freedom, but what is it that prevents us from transcending, from going beyond ourselves and achieving happiness?
当我们找到了这个根源啊，我们非常清楚地看到了这个根源的时候呢，我们才能够知道怎么样去解决啊这个根源。
And it's only when we know what the root of our problem is, when we're clear about what it is that's obstructing us, that we're able to take measures to transcending it.
这个因缘啊，前前后后的这个因缘，它也是缘起，也就是在这个缘起当中。
And in order to do this,dependent arising can explain to us is the way that we can understand what this obstruction is, what the root of our unhappiness is.
那么简单的说啊，我们比如说我们该有的都有了，比如说我们有钱啊，有名啊，有地位，有社会的地位，有权利啊，什么样的都有，该有的都有啊，但是呢，我们还是会面临很多很多的啊不快乐啊不幸福的啊这样子的这个时，有每个人都有很多这样子的时候。
Every person, regardless of whether they have wealth, fame, status, reputation, etc., still experience times when they are extremely unhappy.
那么这个根源啊。用佛教的话来讲，他认为啊，这个根源啊不在外面啊，而在我们自己的内心当中。
From a Buddhist point of view, the obstacle or the root of that unhappiness is not to be located in an external sense, but inside ourselves.
这个世界，它的本心啊，或者是它的。这个世界在我们的眼里是什么样的啊？也就是说，这个世界在我们的眼里以什么样的方式出现？这个不是这个世界它本身来决定，而是我们对它的态度来决定。
In fact, this world around us, as it appears to us,is not ultimately determined by the world outside, but by our internal attitude.
就是说，我们在我们的内心当中调整了以后呢，这个世界也跟着我们的内心会变化啊。也就是说，我们的随着我们的内心的变化而变化。
So that when we make changes within ourselves, when we adjust the way that we view the external world, so the world that we see changes in accordance with our changed internal state.
这个当然不是唯心主义的观点。
This is not a materialist view of things.
它是另外一种，除了唯心和唯物的另外一种观点。
It's aside from the materialist view of things. It's a different perspective, another perspective.
那么这个最关键的这个根源是什么呢？用佛教的话来讲啊，我们对这个世界的执着，就是它的根源。
To use the Buddhist explanation, the source of our obstruction of our freedom is our clinging, our grasping, our attachment to the world.
我们人是什么样子？我们希望这个世界啊，希望我们的生活当中的所有的事情，我们要求它按照我的意图，按照我的要求去变化啊，我们总是是这样子。
We always demand of our external world that it proceed or change according to our plan or our idea of how things should work.
但是这个世界和我们生活当中发生的一切，它不一定能够按照我们的想法去发展，去变化。
But of course, the external world doesn't necessarily work like that, go according to the way that we would like it to go.
当我们的要求和这个世界的实际的变化未被相违的时候呢，然后我们的心里就开始升起各种各样的烦恼。
When the way that we would like things to be and then the way that they actually are don't occur together, they are different, they depart from each other, then we generate great negative feeling.
这个世界的变化啊，它有它的规律，它会它的规律，它按照它的规律去变化，它不会按照我们的意图去变化。
The external world will change and go according to its own fundamental nature and not according to our own wishes.
那是为什么呢？就是因为它有它的自然的规律，它有它的元气，所以它会按它的这个规律去发展，去变化。
The reason being that the world around us works and proceeds according to the innate nature of its own existence. So that's the way, the principle, the lines along which it works.
但是我们往往希望这个世界按照我的要求去变那么这个时候呢，我们非常的执着很自私的执着它，希望按照我的要求去变。那么这个就叫做执着，用佛教的话来讲，这叫做执着。
Nevertheless, we always continue to hope that things will go according to our own plans, our own desires, and it's this strong hope or this strong clinging that is called in Buddhism attachment. This is attachment.
这个时候，唯一的方法是什么呢？我们要学会跟着这个自然走。我们要理解这个自然的规律，尊重自然的规律。我们不要强求这个跟着我的意图去变，我们把我们的心这个意图随着这个外面的变化而变化这样子我们要学会这一点。
So what we really need to learn how to do is to go with the nature of things as they are, and instead of insisting and clinging on to the idea that things should go as we hope them to be, learn how to roll with the ultimate nature of reality, as it were.
用佛教的话来讲，这个就是四个字，叫做顺其自然。
As is said in Buddhism, what we need to do is go with the flow.
那么这个我们这样子执着，我们为什么这样子执着呢？执着我们的这个执着，它有没有原因呢？它也有原因那么它的原因是什么呢？就是我们不了解这个世界，这个就是原因。
Does our clinging, does our attachment have its reasons? Yes, of course it does. The reason is that we do not understand the nature of the world around us. And in fact, that's the reason for our clinging.
我们不了解的东西非常非常的多，外面的世界我们不了解，物质我们不了解啊，然后今生我们不了解啊，更加的不了解我们自己。
There are so many things that we don't understand. We don't understand so much in the world. We don't understand much about form. We don't understand much about the spirit. Least of all, do we really understand ourselves?
这些所有的不了解啊，用佛教的话来讲，两个字叫做无明。
And this lack of understanding is referred to in Buddhism as ignorance.
那么这个不了解啊，导致了什么呢？导致了执着，然后执着导致了痛苦、恐慌，这样子，这就是一种另外一种缘起。
So this lack of understanding causes clinging, and then this clinging causes suffering and pain. So this, in its own way, is a kind of dependent arising.
如果我们不像恐慌不像这个痛苦这样子的话，那么我们要去学会解决这个执着。
If we don't want to live in a state of fear, and if we don't want to live in a state of pain, then what we really need to do is learn how to let go of our attachment.
怎么样能够解决这个执着呢？用佛教的话来讲啊，我们不是求神，不是求鬼，用自己的智慧来解决这个问题。
So how are we going to go about doing this? Is it by supplicating the gods or the ghosts? No, of course it's through our own endeavors, through our own efforts.
那么需要什么样的智慧呢？这个就是我们要讲的第二个阶段，就是空心或者是真无这样子的智慧。
And then the wisdom that we need to do this is the wisdom of emptiness, and that's what we're going to talk about in the second section of this teaching.
接下来我们就讲第二个阶段。
And now we are going to go on to talk to the second section of the teaching.
第二个阶段就是我们刚才讲了能够解决这个执着的主要的这个力量我们刚才提到了佛教不认为它是某一种神、某一种鬼，而是自己的智慧。那么这个智慧来自于什么呢？
So the power or the force that we need to use in order to conquer our pain and our fear, this wisdom comes from emptiness.
正悟或者是顿悟、正悟这两个字，在佛教里面，尤其是在这个大乘佛教里面呢，是一个高频率的词汇。
To realize the nature of emptiness, or to become enlightened, to become awakened, are very frequently used terms or frequently heard terms in Buddhism.
就是说，佛教的戒律、佛教的禅定佛教的一切，最终就是为了这两个字。
Ultimately, all of Buddhist discipline or meditation, etc., is all in order to achieve that, the realizing the ultimate nature of existence.
佛教认为我们今天不愿意老也得要衰老不愿意死亡，我们大家都不愿意死亡，要面对死亡。我们 大家都不愿意生病，要面对生病啊。那么为什么呢？这些为什么我们要面对这么多我们不愿意面对的事情呢？他认为所有的这个根源啊，就是我们自己的内在的啊因素，无明。
We have to encounter so much that we don't want to encounter, whether it be aging and death. But from a Buddhist point of view, why is it that we have to encounter so much that we don't want to? The reason is ultimately our ignorance.
那么这个内在的问题解决，怎么样解决？那么无明这两个字啊，就是一个，也就是另外一种啊，用我们世俗的词汇来讲，就是愚蠢、愚昧啊，这样子的东西。
What we refer to as ignorance could be put in a more everyday sense as probably not a more in everyday sense, benightedness. Yes.
那么这种啊愚昧是一种非常非常深啊，也就是一个非常严重的啊愚昧和愚蠢。
This kind of stupidity or benightedness is a very serious and deep kind of situation.
那么这个无明呢，怎么样去解决呢？我们大家都知道，比如说一个人啊很愚昧、很愚蠢的话，那么他的这个愚蠢的问题怎么样解决呢？大家都知道啊，那就是要变得聪明，变得有智慧，就解决这个问题。这个是大家都很清楚的事情。
If you have a really stupid or foolish person, then how is that person to go about improving themselves? Obviously, by becoming more intelligent and acquiring more wisdom. This is obviously how a stupid or foolish person would go about improving themselves.
从佛教的角度来讲，我们人类，也就是普通人啊，比如说科学家、哲学家等等啊，人类历史上出现的这些非常非常了不起的这些伟大的人物啊，还有以及我们其他的人，佛教觉得大家都很聪明啊，但是呢，就缺乏一个，缺乏什么呢？缺乏智慧。
So in our world history, there are many people that are commonly regarded as mighty discoverers of various inventions, scientists and inventors, etc. But from a Buddhist point of view, despite recognizing the achievements and capacities of these individuals, it's quite possible that they lack a certain kind of wisdom.
那么佛教他为什么说我们人类啊，我们普通的人为什么说没有智慧呢？这是因为我们，比如说非常伟大的这个哲学家，像笛卡尔啊，非常伟大的科学家爱因斯坦啊等等，这些人他们的盲点是什么呢？就是自己他不知道他是什么。
So from a Buddhist point of view, even great philosophers like Descartes or great scientists such as Einstein, their blind spot from a Buddhist point of view is that their endeavors that they did not understand themselves.
他们知道很多很多很多啊外在的东西，他们非常了不起，他们非常的伟大，他们对人类的贡献也是非常的了不起的，但是呢，不能不承认，他们最终他不知道他自己到底是什么。
They were admittedly extremely mighty in terms of what they understood about the external world, about their achievements and their creations, but what they didn't understand was themselves.
所以，佛教觉得我们人类很聪明，非常的了不起的，但是就是缺乏这么一点智慧。
So from a Buddhist point of view, we might be extremely intelligent and smart, and it's possible to certainly recognize these gifts and capacities that people have, and yet at the same time, we can still lack this particular kind of wisdom.
那么这个智慧是什么呢？简单的说，就是要彻底的了解自己，就是这个智慧。
What is this wisdom? This wisdom is about thoroughly and completely understanding oneself.
我们今天大多数的人知道这张桌子，以我们的感官去看，它就是一张桌子，但是呢，它实际上它不是一张桌子。
For example, this table right here, you know, from a conventional point of view, using our conventional senses, it appears as a table, but in actual fact, it's not just a table.
它是一大堆的原子、分子、高速运动的一种产物。
It is an entity comprised of all kinds of atoms rushing in and mingling amongst each other in a great flurry.
也就是说，这个原子分子高速运动的时候呢，在我们的视觉当中产生了一种错觉，这个叫做桌子。
In fact, what we regard as a table, what we see as a table, is the atoms.At a particular velocity coming together such that they appear in our visual sense as a table, and that's what we know as a table.
这叫做教堂、世界、太阳系、宇宙。
And that's what everything around us that we see tonight appears as, everything that we perceive as being what it is.Functions along similar principles.
我们对世界有很多很多的错误的认识。
We have a great deal of mistaken understandings and perceptions about the world.
我们对自己也有同样的，也有太多太多的错觉。
And in fact,In relation to ourselves, we also have a great number of mistaken understandings.
也就是说，我们生活在一个一大堆的错觉当中。
So, in fact, what we are living in is living in the midst of a great pile of mistaken apprehensions.
但是我们从诞生到死亡绝大多数的人从来不知道这一点。
But most of us, from the time we're born to the time we die, don't realize this.
这些错觉给我们带来太多太多不切合实际的欲望。
These mistaken perceptions create or generate in us so many desires that.Don't correspond with reality.
这些错觉给我们带来太多太多的仇恨和抱怨。
And these illusions and mistaken perceptions generate in us so much anger and resentment.
那么给我们带来这么多的欲望，这么多的抱怨、仇恨的这些东西，真的是我们所想象的那样子。存在的真实的吗？
These things that generate in us so much desire and anger and resentment, are they really as they are?
这个答案，科学，现代的科学，给我们提供了一部分的答案。
The answer to this, science provides us with a partial answer, part of the answer.
但是最终的，尤其是精神上的，尤其是自我的一些答案，科学到目前为止没有给我们提供一个满意的回答。
In terms of how this relates to our inner state, however, science has not yet been able to provide us with a fully satisfactory answer.
这些答案也许佛教的这些知识里面呢可以找到一些。
But in terms of this answer, perhaps within the Buddhist wisdom, we can find some answers.
那么这个答案是什么呢？佛教里面就讲空心这两个字。
In respect of this answer, Buddhism talks about emptiness.
那么缘起和空心这两个词汇实际上就是一个意思，是一个音比的两个面。
Actually, dependent arising and emptiness are in fact ultimately the same meaning, one meaning. They're two sides of the one coin.
这个世界即使缘起也是空心。
This world around us is.On the one hand, the result of dependent arising, and at the same time emptiness.
那么这个问题我们还不了解的时候，就觉得这两个是矛盾的。
When we haven't understood this, or until we've understood this, then it can appear as if the two are in fact.Contradictory.
为什么这么说呢？因为缘起是有因有缘，然后空心呢，没有因，没有缘，一切都是空心啊，似乎这两个就是矛盾的。
So why does it sometimes appear as if dependent arising and emptiness are contradictory?Well, because in dependent arising we have causes and conditions, but in according to emptiness, causes are empty and conditions are empty. There are no causes and there are no conditions.
为什么有这样子的矛盾呢？因为我们不太了解这个真相，不了解真相的时候呢，我们在任何一个问题上都有这样子的问题。
So this misunderstanding will continue until we have a proper understanding of the nature of truth.
比如说这张桌子，科学家告诉我们这里没有一张桌子，这样子的时候呢，以我们的常识来看这个是不可能的。为什么呢？我们的眼睛地地缺缺就看到了一张桌子，我们的生活当中呢就是地地缺缺存在一张桌子，怎么可能没有桌子呢？我们会有这样子的想法。
So for example, if scientists tell us that what we perceive as a table is in fact not a table, well, it's quite natural to be thinking that how can that be? What I see in front of my eyes is a table, and what I use in my everyday life is a table.
那是为什么呢？我们的感官，尤其是我们的视觉它一直都告诉我这里就是有一张桌子它不断地给我传递一种信息什么信息呢？它不断地给我传递一个信息，就是这里就有一个四四方方的桌子，我的视觉告诉我这件事情，然后我的心，我的意识相信了我的视觉给他传递的信息，最后他判断这里就是有一张桌子。
The reason is that our visual senses tell us that what we see here is a table and continuously feed us this message that what we are seeing is a table. As a result, our mind, our consciousness believesour visual sense, such that we believe or buy into the idea that this is indeed a table.
那么我们现在大家都知道，这里实际上只有一大堆的原子和分子没有桌子，我们接受了，今天我们大家都接受了，但是呢，我们的视觉当中呢 仍然是一张桌子。
So even though we, everyone here tonight might be able to accept that this table we see is comprised of a whole heap of atoms, nevertheless, in our everyday lives, it still remains a table.
过去我们的心啊，我们的意识就跟着我们的视觉。那个时候呢，视觉告诉我们有桌子，我们相信有桌子，这两个走到一起不矛盾，没有冲突。
Previously, we, our consciousness or our mind followed and believed our visual senses that what we saw was a Buddha, was a table. There was no contradiction between what our visual sense was telling us and then what our consciousness was believing.
现在我们的意识已经接受了，我们的意识已经知道了啊，这里没有桌子。但是呢，我们的视觉仍然是不断的提供过去的这种错误的信息啊，一直都告诉我这里有桌子，有桌子啊。那么这个时候呢，我的视觉和我的意识发生了冲突。
So now we might, our mind or our consciousness might recognize the fact that what we see is not a table. In fact, it's just comprised of a whole heap of atoms. Nevertheless, our visual sense continues to provide us with or to feed us old information that what we see is a table, a table. So there exists now a contradiction. An inconsistency between what our visual sense is feeding us and what our mind believes.
过去我们的意识跟着我们的视觉走啊，那么现在呢，我们跟谁走？
So previously our mind was going with our visual sense. Now, who do we go with? What do we go with?
如果说我们不跟着我的视觉走，那么啊，我们要选择另外一条路。那么如果我们啊选择跟着我的视觉走，那么我们违背了真理啊。这时候呢，这就是一个对我们的一种挑战，我们面临了两种选择。
So we're really facing a challenge. If we decide in this conundrum to go with and believe with what our visual senses are telling us, then what we're doing is flying in the face of truth.
那么这个时候我们怎么样去解决，怎么样去调节这个矛盾呢？啊，我们会说，我们的视觉看到的是错觉，啊，它的真相啊，是显微镜所看到的啊，不存在桌子，一大堆的分子，这是它的真相。我们看到的是错觉啊，这样子以后呢，这个问题解决了，调节这个矛盾了。
So we're able to reconcile this challenge by saying that in fact what we see in our visual senses, in our visual senses, a table is in fact not what actually is the table, the atoms.Rushing around, back and forth, etc., is able to be perceived by a high-power microscope. But that's not something that our conventional visual senses are able to perceive.
那么这个时候我们为什么要选择这张桌子不存在的这种观点呢？就是因为它是显微镜的结论。为什么要跟着显微镜的这个结论走呢？因为显微镜它看得比我们的肉眼更加的清楚，所以我们只能跟它走。
So why do we decide to take this approach to accept that what we see is as a table is in fact not the ultimate reality of the table?Well, we do so because we accept that a high-powered microscope can see with greater clarity or higher resolution than our own naked human eye.
那么这个时候呢，我们会 会认为在我们的生活当中，在我们的视觉当中，它就是一张桌子。但是从它的真相来讲，它不是桌子啊，这两个是没有矛盾的。
So in this situation, we can accept that what we see with our eye is a table, but what in its ultimate reality is not a table. We're able to accept these two things, that what we see and the ultimate reality are not the same.
为什么不矛盾？这两个的层次不一样。层次啊，显微镜它看到的比我们的肉眼的高一个层次。从显微镜的角度去看，这里没有桌子啊。但是我们把这个层次再降一个级别，以我的肉眼看啊，这里那么就是有一张桌子啊。所以这个角度不一样，层次不一样，所以不矛盾。
So there's not a contradiction between these two ideas, between the idea that what I see with my naked eye is a table, and the idea that this in its ultimate nature, is not what I perceive as a table, because we're really talking about two perspectives, two different spectrums, one being the human eye and the other being a high-powered, microscope. So because we're talking about spectrums or, levels or frequencies, there's no inconsistency or contradiction between these two positions.
同样的，我们这个两个级别，比如说以我们的肉眼看啊，这个世界永远都不是空心，而是缘起。
So in the same way, we can look at the world around us and say that, see that what we see as the world is not emptiness, but dependent arising.
就像显微镜一样的另外一个更高的智慧来看这个世界，那么这个不是桌子啊，一大堆的原子分子。
So, looking at the world in this way, is, sort of appreciating it, being able to look at it in two spectrums of appreciation is like being able to say, the table is a table with my naked eye, but a flux of atoms with a high-powered microscope.
这个时候呢，桌子不存在，但是原子分子我们仍然觉得它是真实的。
So, when the table is, in fact a flux of atoms, nevertheless, our eyes are able to appreciate it as a concrete table.
在这种情况，从这种方法再往下，再往深处走啊，这样子的话，那么科学今天已经走到了像夸克量子啊弦理论，就是走到这一步。但是呢，这一点它还没有突破。
So, contemporary discoveries in physics, quantum physics, etc. have been able to discover and confirm, this, but beyond this they've not been able to, transcend.
佛教的观点呢，它已经突破了这一些，能量，这个，夸克能量等等，零点能等等，这些最细微的、最最最细微的这些物质都已经突破了。最后呢，佛教它就是走到最深的地方，它发现在最深的地方呢，实际上没有发现任何东西。
So Buddhism has been able to go beyond the most micro concepts of physics to discover that ultimately, beyond all of this is emptiness.
我们相信五十年之内八十年之内科学一定会告诉我们这一点。
And we believe that in the next 50 years or 80 years at some time in the future that this is what science will be telling us.
这个时候呢，我们彻底的明白这个世界到底是什么。
And at that point, we will completely understand what this world is, what the ultimate nature of things is.
但是还有一个问题没有明白，就是我们这个时候我们还不了解、不明白我们的精神世界是一个什么样的世界。
But at this point, we still have an unresolved problem, and that is that we don't understand our own inner state, our own internal universe, as it were.
从目前的科学的技术啊来看，似乎就是没有办法给我们这方面的这个答案。
Looking at things as they presently stand, it doesn't appear that there is any type of science or technology that's able to provide us with this answer.
内在的精神其实它是最精彩的、最奇妙的世界。
Our internal inner spiritual state is the most delicate world.
但是这个不是我们的眼睛可以去看，我们的耳朵不可以去听，只有他自己可以感受、可以体会、可以体悟。
But this is not something that we can investigate with our eyes and our ears, perhaps like the external world. It's something that we have to turn inward and experience for ourselves, investigate for ourselves.
那么这样子的外在的物质、内在的精神、一切的一切，最终啊，它就是一种在我们的视觉、听觉、触觉当中出现的一个虚幻的世界。彻底的明白这一点的时候呢，那一天就叫做我们这一天，就是我们证悟的一天。
When we are able to fully understand that the world that we perceive outside ourselves and the world that we perceive inside ourselves, both the external world and our inner selves, are in fact the illusory production of our own senses. When we fully realize this, then that is the day of our enlightenment.
它是一种超级的智慧，因为它发现了我们在这个普通的感官的这个层面永远都没有办法发现的真理，它彻底的发现。
So this is a kind of transcendental law or super knowledge because it is a realization that goes beyond that which we are able to obtain through our sensory organs.
这是我们今天要讲的第二个阶段，简单的介绍一下什么叫做空心。
So this is the second section of tonight's teaching, essentially just talking briefly about what the notion or doctrine of emptiness entails.
那么第三个阶段，缘起跟星空跟我们的生活到底有什么样的关系呢？我们接下来因为时间的关系，我们简单的介绍一下。
The third section, the relevance or the connection of or between our own lives and dependent arising and emptiness, we will go on to talk about now. Given time constraints, we'll talk about it briefly.
当我们彻底的明白这个世界就是一种虚幻的世界啊，这样子的时候呢，就会当下就会消失啊，这个世界给我们带来的恐慌、焦虑、抱怨、仇恨，或者是过度的欲望等等啊，这些所有的烦恼，一下子就会消失。
When we realize that this world around us is in fact our own, the illusory production of our senses, then in an instant, all of our negative emotions, our fear, our anxiety, our anger, our desire, can dissipate just like that.
同时也就会消失， 比如说我们大家都 不愿意看到的战争、歧视、种族的歧视等等，让大家不愉快的这些很多的这些事情同时也会消失。
And similarly, all the kinds of things that we really don't dislike about the world, the wars, the discrimination, etc., with this realization, they will dissipate, they will disappear as well.
也可以同时也可以消失。比如说我们有些时候啊，对这个世界的一些过度的欲望啊，或者是我们获得一些东西的时候的这种狂喜啊，特别特别过分的这种喜欢啊，也会消失。
And at the same time, excessive desire that we experience towards things, or excessive joy, obsessive grasping for things, will similarly dissipate.
但是我们可以保持一个非常稳定的一个喜悦和满足感。
But what we can do and what we will be able to do is maintain a very stable sense of satisfaction and joy.
也能够从此以后也能够过上一个不单是自己幸福，而且能够过上一个非常有意义的人生。
And from this point on, be able to live not only happy but extremely meaningful existences.
那就是利他，也就是用佛教的话来讲，普度众生。
And what this is, using a Buddhist turn of phrase, benefiting others, saving others, benefiting others.
那么证悟了这个空性以后呢，真的能够有这样子，真的能够达到这样子的这个层次吗？啊，我想很多人也有疑问的。
Perhaps quite a number of people have doubts about really once we realize the nature of emptiness,Is it possible to achieve such a level, such a state?
非常简单解决这个问题。比如说，我们做梦的时候，如果我们不知道这个正在做梦的话，那么在我们梦里面发现的一切，都跟我们现实生活当中发生的没有任何的区别。
I suppose we can use the metaphor of a dream to explain this. So when we're in the midst of a dream and don't realize that we're dreaming, then everything seems exactly as it were in our real lives.
任何一种梦啊，我们能够拉长80年、100年，这叫做人生。
So a dream that we canExtend for 80 years or 90 years or 100 years, well, this extended dream we can call a human life.
任何一个人生的经验啊，如果能够压缩到2小时、1小时，就叫做梦。
And any human experience in our lives that we're able to contract or reduce to a couple of hours.We can likewise call this a dream.
唯一的区别就是时间，除了时间以外没有任何的区别。
With the exception of time, there's absolutely no difference between the two.
但是这个梦，如果我们不知道在做梦的话，那么梦同样可以给我们带来幸福感、快乐，同样也可以给我们带来焦虑、恐慌、痛苦。这都是跟现实生活一样的。
But this dream, if we don't understand it's a dream, if we're not aware of the fact that it's a dream, it can still bring us happiness. We can still experience happiness within it, and similarly, we can experience pain and suffering.
如果我们在做梦的时候，突然发现自己在做梦的话那么瞬间所有的痛苦，所有的这个恐慌都会消失，当下就可以消失。
But if in the middle of our dream we suddenly realize that yes, in fact, what I'm doing is dreaming, then all of a sudden, all of the fear and all of the negative experiences and perceptions will disappear in an instant.
我想我们很多的人都有这样子的经验，比如说我们在梦里面啊做了一件不该做的事情，然后特别特别的恐慌，特别痛苦的时候，如果这个时候正在这个时候醒过来的时候呢，然后我们就心里很高兴，哦，我原来在做梦。
Probably everybody here has had that experience of dreaming and in the dream doing something that you shouldn't have done or we shouldn't have done, and really wishing that at that moment you understood, if you understood at that moment that you were dreaming, then at that point you would experience vast and great relief.
当我们证悟了空性以后呢，比如说过度的欲望、仇恨、抱怨、自私，这些心态跟空心是违背的，所以证悟空心的当下，这些都会逐渐逐渐的会消失。
So when realizing emptiness, negative emotions like selfishness and anger and hate, desire, etc., because they are in conflict, they're in contradiction with emptiness, they don't accord with emptiness, then slowly, gradually, they will extinguish themselves.
那么这个时候呢，我们同时啊，这些烦恼啊，烦恼消失。同样的，我们比如说在梦里啊，就是赚到了很多钱啊，或者是就在某一个方面非常的成功，非常的喜悦，非常的开心的时候呢，从这个梦里面醒过来，这些也同样也会消失。
But similarly, in the dream, if we're really happy, if we've made a lot of money, etc., upon realizing that we are dreaming, then likewise, that will all disappear at that point as well.
那么很多人想，那我们证悟空性以后呢，我们既没有这些抱怨仇恨，然后也没有这些喜悦，那我们是不是变成植物人呢？不是。
Some people think, well, you know, if upon realizing emptiness, if I don't have happiness and joy, and I've not got this sadness and anger and avarice, then what am I? Am I like a vegetable person?
比如说，我们从梦里醒过来的时候，在梦里面发生的喜悦、快乐、恐慌都消失了，但是呢，它可以过现实生活。
Even though all of these things will have dissipated upon us awakening from the dream, what we can start to do is lead our real lives.
当我们证悟空性了以后呢，就是这些错觉给我们带来的恐慌和烦恼和喜悦都消失了，但是呢，我们可以有一个可以有一个跟这个真理符合真理的喜悦，可以有一个这样子的生活。
So even though the joy and the suffering and all of the emotions that are generated by our mistaken perception of the way the world operates will disappear upon awakening from the dream, what we will be able to do upon awakening is have a life that accords with the nature of reality, the nature of truth as it is.
证悟了空心以后呢，我们还会来到这个世界，但是呢，这个时候我们看到这个世界跟我们现在看这个世界也是不一样啊。那么证悟了以后来这个地球和现在我们来到这个世界的意义不一样，那个时候呢，我们是来帮助所有人的。
So after realizing emptiness, we still will return to this world, we will still exist in this world, but the way that we perceive things and the meaning of being in this world will have radically changed, insofar as the meaning of our existence will be to benefit others.
非常感谢，我的讲座到此结束。